Okay. I'd like to hear from it. Well, let me just start and we'll see. I would like to hear that somebody is hearing me out there just so that I know that everything's working. So please put into your chat box that you can hear and that you can see the PowerPoint. Just a yes will do. Okay, I'm not sure if there's a problem. I allow you aware of a problem that nobody's hearing or answering. Question box. Okay. Okay, so I see one yes. Okay, good. Thank you. Answered questions. All right, so I'm going to move that over. Okay, great. All right, so we're starting this 8-week session together. We're going to be learning together for a while, and each session has its own focus. It is one series, so I don't want anybody to be frustrated if we don't come out with a tight package each time, because each session is built up one upon another, although hopefully there will be take-home goals from each one. Okay. Okay. All right, we're going to be creating a little bit of a community out of ourselves. So I would like to hear from those who are online right now. I realize that not the entire class can be here all at once. Some will be listening by recording. But for those of you who are here right now, I'd like to hear where you're from. And just to get a little sense of who you're here, so your name, your location, and a main reason that you are joining. So if you could share that with me, that would be terrific, and I'll share it with the group. Okay, great, now I can see the answers nicely. Terrific. Let me put that back in. Okay, so you can just type right into the chat box your name, your location, and the main reason that you're joining. So we have somebody from Kansas City, and she wants to improve her relationship with her husband and family. We have somebody from Denver wanting to learn how to make goals, self-improvement, from Muncie. I don't yet have clarity on if you'd like to share names with each other, so I will be asking you in a few different slides how you feel about actually creating a community where you might get to know each other a little bit better. So, but meanwhile, I'm not going to say your names out loud until you indicate that you're interested in that. Okay, so let's just think about some of the things that we spoke about in some of the earlier sessions in the Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. But this is a very important idea here. We often overestimate what we can accomplish in a year and underestimate what we can accomplish in a decade. So we, and that quote is, oh good, I see a few more people who are typing in Seattle, Washington, and Oak Park, Michigan. Terrific. There's, and some people have to leave early to teach. Okay, that's fine. This session is going to be recorded. All 8 sessions hopefully will be recorded, so we'll be able to share them later or by recording if you want to. You'll be able to listen and catch up. And I'll be posting the PowerPoints on my website so that you can have them afterwards. Also, you'll have access to that if you want. So the concept, this quote is attributed to many people, to Anthony Robbins and Bill Gates, among others. So I'm just going to give a few of the names. So the idea here is that we often have voracious appetites for what we'd like to accomplish, and we think that we can accomplish it all. And yet, we seem to plod along. The truth is, though, and not accomplish what we want, but the truth is that within a decade, we can accomplish a lot more than we thought if we just start to chip away. So that's what we want to work on, is how can we set goals that will help us actually accomplish what we want to accomplish, and chip away a little bit, little by little, so that over a decade we'll be able to look back and really see progress. Hopefully over the year we'll be able to look back too and really see progress. Okay, here's my second quote for the day. You don't have to be great to start, but you have to start to be great. That's by Zig Ziglar, who was a very famous motivational speaker. He recently passed away, but he's considered the father of motivational speakers. I think he started the genre. and certainly in the secular world. So this is important to think about. None of us are where we'd like to be, but we're not going to get there if we don't start moving in that direction. This is nice. From Minneapolis, we have somebody who wants to know, the reason why she joined the class is how to figure out what I want to be when I grow up. And we're all growing. So for sure, that's what we want to accomplish. Okay. Let's see. All right. So I happen to be a little bit of a devotee of Stephen Covey. I can't say I'm a Hasida, but I do really appreciate him. So let's start with this concept. Begin with the end in mind. That's Stephen Covey's second habit from the seven habits of highly effective people. And the first habit being be proactive, which we are right now by joining this class and thinking about where we want to head. But we actually have to have a destination before we can start walking towards it. So we have to begin with the end in mind. So to that end, what I'd like to do is just tell you what we're going to be doing over the next 8 weeks, each class. They're in a little different. I arranged the classes. The themes of each class are the same as that which was promised in the advertisement, and yet I rearranged the order so that they would work better for our sequencing and learning together. Okay, so this week, creating goals. So we'll talk specifically about that and move towards that direction, although I will caution you right now at the outset of this particular class that while you may have some goals created by the end of this class, likely it's going to take about 3 classes to get some clarity on the goals that you want, possibly even a little bit more. But we will get there, Bezrat Hashem. Okay, the next class, next week, we'll be talking about knowing yourself. We'll do some inventory, some getting to know ourselves, some clarifying of our strengths and our weaknesses, and what we can use to move forward. After that, we'll talk about life balance, how to balance the different aspects of our lives, the different roles that we are, the different goals that we have. It's interesting. I recently got a question by email, not from somebody in this class, but through other teaching that I do, where somebody asked me, aren't we self-centered with all this personal growth? Is that what Hashem really has in mind for us, that we should be doing personal growth, personal growth, personal growth, and maybe we're neglecting other responsibilities? So we are going to talk about where's the balance in growing ourselves and growing others and creating environments for others to grow in and creating an environment for us to grow in. So we will be clarifying some of that and making sure that we're balanced in our growth. The fourth week, we want to look at moving on from past mistakes and pain. So we will be doing some work on letting go, some work on tshuva, some work on different tools that we can use to step out of difficulties emotionally and physically, circumstantially, attitudinally. So that will be week 4. Week 5, we'll talk about secrets of inner happiness. And I did change the title here because before it said the secrets of inner happiness. I don't know the secrets, meaning all of them, but I know some of them. So I'll be happy to share that with you in week 5. Week 6, we'll talk about dealing with difficulties, coping with challenges. They do come our way. It's not really an option, sadly. But we will learn how to see them as opportunities and work with them, practical tools for working with difficulties. Week 7, connecting with Hashem. And week 8, to launch you past the series, creating and sustaining lasting change. How we'll get there so that all these weeks will feed into the ability to really set up a program for ourselves where we will be working towards lasting change, creating it and sustaining it for ourselves. Okay. Here I want to get to know you a little bit. I for sure want this to be a customized class. This is not a generic class. I have the students who've signed up. These are the students that I want to take care of. You are the students that I want to take care of and interact with personally. I don't want this to be, you know, out there for the hundreds. It's you who signed up, and this is our community. So I want to make sure that I'm meeting your needs. I have a few questions, and then I have a request. So the first questions are that I'd like you to please answer in your question box. I guess I'll ask all 3, and then you could just write 1, 2, or 3, or you could write information if you want to. How many of you, number 1, set clear goals for yourselves over the high holiday season? Or how many of you, number 2, made self-improvement wishes but didn't yet make them into actual goals? Or number 3, how many of you need help figuring out what your direction is, and don't really have goals in mind at all. So how many of you, number one, set clear goals for yourselves over the high holiday season? You can just type one into your text box, and you can put in a comment too if you'd like to. How many of you made self-improvement wishes, number two, but didn't yet make them into goals? Or number three, how many need help figuring out your direction and don't really have goals in mind at all? Okay, let me stretch this out. Oops, that's not what I meant to do. Okay, I want to see your answers more clearly. Okay, so I have some ones and twos and threes, mostly twos and threes, only a couple, I think I have three ones. There's one person that says she was in Rabbi Niven's Chavura, so she has set goals, which is great. He does really nice work with setting goals. And then people who have had El Harutas, and they worked towards that, and that was helpful. Great. Let's see. Clear goals? Great. Okay, I'm really happy to see. So some of you have very clear goals. Some of you need help. I only see a couple that are really in the three category where you really need help finding your direction. Most are in the ones and twos. But that's great. So what I would like is really, depending on, this is totally up to you, but what I would like personally as a teacher is, as a guide, is to engage with you on a deeper level and know more about you. So I would really love it if you would send me an email. My email address is on the screen. I did upload to my website. I started a special page for this class, and I have the link below for this class. And so what I've uploaded so far is a questionnaire. And I would love it if you would download that questionnaire, fill it out, and send it to me with as much information as you want. I'll keep all answers confidential, but I'd love to know more about each person in the class and what you'd like to share. So the questions are really about your life journey, about your Jewish journey, about obstacles that you face, challenges that are frustrating for you, about anything that you want to share with me for the purposes of this class. But I would love to know more about you so that I can direct the class more specifically towards the group of students that are actually present. So again, if you could send me an email during this week before the next class, if possible, you could probably many of you could find that website right now while you're on the computer and download it, but really, better you should wait so that we can spend this time together and you can spend, it's not exactly homework, but an investment in our growth together over these next 2 months by filling out that questionnaire so that I know more about each one of the students. Okay. This is how I see the process of creating a roadmap. And what I would like by the end of this 8-week session is to actually have a physical document in hand. It will be something that could be supplemented to Rabbi Niven's work, but it will be different. I have my own process. But I do want to talk about the different things that we will be working on. These don't necessarily parallel each class for the next 8 weeks, but they will be things that we're going to be looking at through the next 8 weeks and in order to come up with a roadmap that we'll be leaving this sessions with so that we'll have that clarity. So first is destination definition. Where do you actually want to head? So that's what we're working with right now, the goals that you have, which we hopefully will expand upon a little bit, but so that you have an idea of where your destination is, defining it. Then assessing self, so that we know who we are and what our strengths and weaknesses are. So we'll look at that next week. And then route awareness. So when here, if we're talking about roadmaps, then there's a route to get to our destination. We need to be aware of what is in that route. What are some of the pitfalls in that route? What might stop us up on the way? And how we can be aware of some of the things that are likely to be along the route towards our goals. Then, before we embark on our journey, we want to augment our toolbox. So we will have some practical tools shared throughout the sessions that will become part of the toolbox that we have to be able to navigate our roadmap. And then milestone recognition. How do we know we're in the right direction? How do we know that we're actually heading where we want to go? And how do we set small goals to be able to achieve our big goals? Then a reality check. Are our goals really the goals that we should have? Are they too small? Are they too big? Are they unrealistic? Are they not pushing ourselves enough? So we'll do that reality check once we get further through the process, and we'll fine-tune with the reality check in mind and reroute a little bit so that we can make sure that we are taking the route that we want towards the goals that we want to achieve. And then, Bezrat Hashem, we'll embark. And of course, all of this is part of the embarkment process. But we'll make sure that we have clarity in our map as we go on our way. Okay, now let's talk about goals and means. A lot of times people mix up these two concepts, not in terms of language, but in terms of reality, they often get mixed up. So let's disambiguate a little bit between goals and means. Goals are where you want to head. Goals are what you want to accomplish. Means are how you accomplish it. Often, I'll give you an example of often how they're mixed up. School uniforms, are they a goal or are they a means? It really depends on what your goal is. So if your goal is decorum in school, then really having everybody wear a uniform is a means towards the goal of decorum and insisting that everybody in the school wear a uniform, no matter how it looks on them, no matter if they can afford it, no matter if they're comfortable in it, no matter if they feel silly in it, no matter whatever the objections that could come up, no matter if they have sensory issues, whatever it is, if it's about decorum, then school uniforms are a must. So they're a means towards the goal of decorum. However, what if school uniforms are to help create a better learning environment? And in order to create a better learning environment, in general, you need more decorum. And better decorum, in general, is created by uniforms, or not having distractions, removing distractions from the environment. So if one feels that creating a better learning environment is the goal, or really having students that learn well is the goal, and in order to do that, you need a better learning environment. And in order to do that, you need increased decorum. And in order to do that, you want to remove the distractions of clothing. And in order to do that, you're instituting uniforms. Then uniforms are very low on the list of means to achieve the goal of the better learning environment. So imagine a child now with sensory issues appearing in school, not in full uniform. What will the principal say? It really depends on the principal's clarity of goals and means. If the uniforms are a mean towards decorum, decorum is the goal, then it really doesn't matter how the kid feels in the uniform. It's decorum is the goal. But if really it's about getting students to learn better, then the child with the sensory issues who's bugged by the seams in the blouse that she has to wear would do better wearing a same colored t-shirt or turtleneck or something like that. Even though it's not part of the uniform, in that particular case, one can look at the goal and understand that removing distractions from the learning environment is really what uniforms are about. And in this case, the child is more distracted by wearing a uniform than by not. So therefore, in order to meet the goal of students learning happily in a better learning environment, better this child should be excused from full uniform. So it's really important to think about goals and means and what we're trying to accomplish and not get them mixed up. Many times people mix them up. Okay, so let's think about parenting just in terms of this for a minute. What are the goals of parenting? So let me ask you, I'd like to see in your question box, please, what would you say are some of the goals of parenting? Some of you aren't parents yet, and some of you are past the early parenting stage, but all of you can think about what some of the goals of parenting are. So, yeah, I'd like to see you just put in a couple of words of what goals. Raise productive and menschlich people. Raise children who love Hashem and want to walk in His ways. Build competencies in our children. something the kids do what they want sometime, okay? Raising a mensch. Okay, great. So these are goals So let's think about it. I was just trying to think, what could we write? So raising a mensch is, I think, a great way to encapsulate the whole thing. This is what I was thinking about. A lot of times people have smaller goals when they should be having really bigger goals, compassion and empathy. So that's exactly what I would say. Compassion and empathy are some of the minor goals along the way for the major goals here at Parenting. Create love, deep sense of self-worth in oneself and children. So let's think about goals in parenting. First of all, we want to create independent people. Rabbi Rieti has a very nice vort on this. He really talks about, he likes to relate the words together. So he talks about what's the relationship between gamal, a camel, gimilut chasadim, acts of loving kindness, and lihigamel, to wean somebody from nursing is lihigamel. So we have these three words, camel, weaning from nursing, and bestowing really, gemilut chasadim, is the gemal there, the gemilut is the bestowing, the acts of loving kindness, gemilut. So those three words, bestowing, and a camel, and weaning. And they're all the same root, but they have to be connected. So Rabbi Rieti explains that really the goal of parenting is to create independence in our child, that we should give and give and give and give so much that the child then is full like a camel and able to wander through the desert with no extra sustenance needed like a camel can, because he's been filled up so much that eventually the weaning is the separating and creating that independence. So you have the concept of filling somebody up so that they can become independent. So giving to them, but not to keep them, to be able to release them. So we want to create independent beings who are healthy. And because of their independence and health in general, health meaning physical health, emotional health, dealing with the world in healthy ways, financially in healthy ways, expectations that are healthy, many different levels of healthy, and independence and health hopefully then will lead to a happiness. So we want independent, healthy, happy adults. Happy, not as its own goal, but really as a byproduct, the litmus test about independence and health functioning well. That's really what we want to accomplish. How do we do that? There are milestones along the way. There are micro goals that will help bring us to these macro goals. And some of you have written some of that, creating the compassion and the empathy that's under the category of healthy. Creating the love and the deep sense of self-worth. So love, healthy sense of self-worth, independent, also both lead to happiness. Let's see, if I define independent as having self-worth, then yes, define independent. So I would say independent is not, I mean, of course we're all interdependent and we need each other in the world. And we are part of a society, part of families, part of communities. But independent means that you can run yourself basically in the world. You have financial, you know how to earn what you need to earn in order to be able to live the life that you need to live. You know, the Talmud discusses three different things that we're required to teach our children, required to give our children. The definition of having raised your child successfully is teaching them how to swim, teaching them how to make a parnasa, and getting them married. Those three things. So getting them married means helping them attach to another person that's outside of your family and build a life with them. Teaching them how to swim, I think, is both physical and metaphorical, that they have to learn how to float on their own in the sea of life. But physically, they need to gain that skill, too, so that there will be the safety around water. But there's the metaphoric concept of helping them be able to swim alone, being taken care of themselves. And then a parnasa, that they shouldn't be dependent upon others. Of course, they're dependent on the flow from Hashem, but they should be able to know how to access that flow, how to initialize that flow, how to do the work that's necessary to create that flow in their lives and be able to sustain themselves. So to have the information and attitudes and work ethic necessary to create independence, and then healthy relationships with others, among other parts of being healthy, but these are great goals, and happiness that's created from that. Somebody's writing, sorry, I didn't mean to take you off track, but that's why this is a small workshop. It's fine. I'll try to stay on a track. That's why it's helpful for me to have this PowerPoint. But the truth is, that I welcome questions and conversation. We can't do that much with texting and conversation, but really I want it to be interactive, and I want your questions, especially if you need clarity on something. Now I want to talk about macro and micro goals and the difference between them. So we touched on it already a little bit, that there is a destination, that's the macro goals, and the micro goals are milestones. So let's think about, for instance, if we're trying to create independence in children, then a micro goal would be that they graduate high school or that they graduate college. Graduating college is its own goal, and of course there's many things that have to go into that goal. My daughter, when she came home from the hospital at 2 days old, when I brought her home, my eldest, we went from Lenox Hill Hospital in Manhattan and to my in-law's apartment on the Upper East Side. And she was the second of all the grandchildren in the family, but the first close by one. The other one was in Israel. So when we walked in the front door, when we got to the front door of the apartment, my father-in-law, Alav HaShalom, hung a sign. And I was a little startled when I first saw that sign, but as we got to the door, it said, "Welcome home, future college graduate." I thought, wow, that's a heavy trip to lay on a two-day-old. Welcome home, future college graduate. He was extremely clear what his goal was for her. There was no question in his mind. And now, 28 years later, when you look at all the grandchildren and their accomplishments, this one in Yale and that one in a PhD program, and this one's applying for MD-PhD programs, and just, I mean, it's one after another, highly accomplished, highly educated grandchildren, but it certainly was a strong goal of his. Nevertheless, that's not the main goal, right? Graduating college, getting a good education, is just a goal along the way. That's a milestone. It's only part of achieving independence and the ability to contribute in the world in a meaningful way. So that's important to see the destination and milestones. Those milestones then, in my definition, would be the micro goals. Goals like, first, getting yourself into kindergarten and happy about it, getting yourself through elementary school, getting yourself into a good college, getting yourself into a good yeshiva seminary, doing what you need to do to graduate from there well, learning, growing. Those are all the micro goals along the way to the macro goals. But it's important to understand that we have two types of goals. Let's look at how we see that in Judaism by using the Shema. Okay, so we have really these sentences of the Shema. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. That really is the proclamation of the Jew. That's the macro goal of Judaism is in these two sentences, that the world should understand through the Jews that God is one, and that his name should be blessed, that everything about God's name should be proclaimed in the world as blessed, positive, that we Jews say this every day, multiple times a day, in order to remind ourselves that the macro goal is to be Mekad Hashem Shemayim. That's it. There's nothing more important than that. Living a life that sanctifies the name of God, that's what we're up to. So that's our mission statement every day. But after that, we have some micro goals, right? So if you look at the paragraph of the V'ahavta, so you can see the micro goals that are contained in there, right? So it's how you do it, right? So how do you proclaim God's name as fabulous and terrific and blessed in the world, that everybody should understand that God is one? Right here, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. Well, those are three goals really right there, micro goals, right? It takes a lot of work to learn how to love Hashem with all your heart, and then separately with all your soul, and then separately with all your might, or we translate that as also with all your stuff, with all your possessions. And then these words, and then continuing on how to do this, you should take these words and put them upon your heart and teach them to your children and speak of them when you sit in your house and on the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. So you have to have them constantly in your mouth, and then bind them as a sign upon your hand, a reminder between your eyes, write them on the doorpost of your house and upon your gates, right? So this is how you do it. So, but each one of these has little goals in it in this paragraph. The following paragraph of the Shema, the Vahayayim Shemua paragraph, and it will be, I didn't print out that whole paragraph because I don't really want to look at that one in this context, but that paragraph is really about the ramifications of if you do this or if you don't do this. Right? So here's the goals, here's how you do it. You manage to do it, and this is what happens. You manage not to do it, and this is what happens. That's really the paragraph of reward and punishment. But now, for our purposes, again, let's look at the third paragraph of the Shema. Sorry. The third paragraph contains a pitfall and a plan. Right? So we're starting out, if you think of the Shema as a roadmap to how to be a good Jew, right? So you first have the macro goal, and then you have some micro goals, and then you have ramifications, just letting you know how this is going to work here, reward and punishment. And then the third paragraph is, there's pitfalls along the way, but here's a plan to avoid them. So let's look at that paragraph and think about the concept of pitfall and a plan. So first Hashem starts out with the plan that you should make tzitzit and what they should look like and put them on so that you can remember the commandments of the Lord and fulfill them. And here's the pitfall, so you will not follow after your heart and after your eyes by which you go astray. Meaning heart and eyes can take you in directions that you don't really want to go in. And so in order to avoid that pitfall in your journey towards sanctifying the name of Hashem in everything that you do with your entire life, here are some surrounding plans. Make these tzitzit and remember the commandments. That's what's really important. Keep your goals in mind. Keep a scaffolding around you of memory and of physical things that help you remember the tzitzit so that you can avoid walking in directions that you don't want to be walking in. I should have now put a quote in here that I like very much. Let's see if I have it. Okay. I'm trying to remember what that exact quote was. But basically, let's see. I don't remember it exactly, so I won't share it. But I'll share here. Let's see if I want to... That here, that maybe I have this written later, but I'll say it here anyway. Let me just check. Sorry. Okay. That we should make sure that we do what we want and not what we feel. Right? So here, the difference between doing what we want and not doing what we feel. Just think about, let's say, walking into the kitchen and you see a cookie. You feel like eating it, but you want to look good. So if you remember what you want and do what you want instead of what you feel, you'll be able to put off a short-term pleasure for a long-term goal. That's one of the definitions of maturity, is the ability to be able to put off a short-term pleasure for a long-term goal. So that's part of that, is being able to differentiate between what you really want and what you feel like doing in the moment. So here is the pitfall that the Shema is talking about, following after your heart or after your eyes, is doing what you feel like without really running it through your brain first. What do you actually want? Will this help you achieve your goal? Where are you holding here? Take a minute to pause and remember what you're actually trying to accomplish. What is your macro goal? What are your micro goals? Does what you're about to do serve either one of those? Okay, now let's look in thinking about our own goals. Okay, I think I'm going to pause for just a minute here and ask you what you think about when you think of the goals of the Jews. What are our goals as a people? Nice. Okay, so I have here, keep typing, whoever didn't type, because I'm just curious to see how much in consonance we are with each other. You know, maybe I'll just wait for a minute so I won't, so those who are still typing will type without knowing what the other people wrote yet. Our goal as the Jews, what is our goal? Okay. Here's what I have so far. If you didn't type, please continue to type because I would love to see all the responses here. Okay. What is our goals as a Jew? To be a light unto the nations. To be a light unto the nations. To be an inspiration for others. To follow the Torah. To be a light unto the nations. To be role models to the Goyim of a proper life. Getting to help other Jews when they are in need. Living as a light to all nations in our land. Show Hashem's oneness in the world. To be a model for the world, a light unto the nations. Make people aware of God's existence. Create Kiddush Hashem. Bring Kiddush Hashem to the world. Let the world know about Hashem. To bring Hashem into the world. Okay, so that's what you wrote. Great. I see this is a nicely educated group. Uh-oh. I don't know what I just did. I made the text box disappear. Uh-oh. Okay. All right. Without now being able to see the text box anymore, and Ayala, if you know how to put that back on my screen, I'd be thrilled with that. Meanwhile, I'll just continue. The goals of the Jews are twofold, and they are to perfect yourself and to perfect the world. So those are the meta goals of the Jewish people. Of course, these are the secondary goals underneath the goal of bringing Kiddush Hashem even bringing Kiddush Hashem into the world is really a goal underneath the main goal, which is creating a relationship with Hashem. Hashem basically wants to give us pleasure. The ultimate pleasure that there is Hashem. Hashem wants to give Hashem's self to us, and the only way to do that is through relationship. So really, the whole world is about creating a relationship with Hashem, so that there will be a relationship pathway through which Hashem can give Hashem's self to us. So that the way that we can receive the most pleasure, which is what Hashem wants for us, is to be in the strongest relationship with Hashem. And then there are ways to create that relationship. So really it's about entering into relationship with Hashem so that we can allow Hashem to give Hashem to us, pleasure to us. That's really the main goal, is to allow Hashem to do what he wants, give himself to us, give pleasure to us. How do we do that? We have to be Mekadesh Shem Shemayim. How do we do that? There are mitzvahs to keep. What are we supposed to accomplish in specific ways? Perfect yourself and perfect the world. These are the two goals of the Jews. Goals for Gentiles are perfect yourself, but it's not their job to perfect the world. They're not tasked as a group with perfecting the world. We are tasked as a group with perfecting the world in addition to perfecting ourselves. But every human being created B'Tselem Elokim, created in the image of Hashem, is tasked with creating the best self they can become, with entering into the strongest relationship with Hashem that they can. Really, the perfect yourself is about entering into relationship with Hashem. But the more Hashem-like we can become, which means the more perfect, right? Because Hashem is perfect. The more Hashem-like we can become, the more of a relationship we can have. So we want to work on perfecting ourselves so that we can be in a stronger relationship. And then the world, really perfecting the world is about the major goal of the Jews, which is to be a light unto the nations, to our national goal. Our individual goal is separate, but our national goal is to perfect the world. The means through which we do that is to be a light unto the nations. Let's look a little bit more specifically. If we're talking about perfecting self, how do we do that? We have to work on, let's see if I'll bring these up here. Really, we perfect ourselves through perfecting our midos, and through performing mitzvot, through accomplishing spiritually, through creating spiritual accomplishments. One could perfect their midot, really, their midos, their character traits, outside of engagement with others, and then they would just have beautiful character traits, but they wouldn't have actually accomplished anything. I'm not even sure it's possible to really perfect your character traits without engaging in the world. But certainly there's no point in creating, you can't even say a perfect self, a lovely set of midos if you haven't used those tools to accomplish anything. It's like having beautifully polished tools in a toolbox that you never use. There's really no point in having them unless you're building something. Really, who we're supposed to be building is ourselves and our relationship with Hashem. The only way that we can build that is through mitzvot, through physical behaviors that lead to spiritual goals, That's what a mitzvah is, a physical pathway to a spiritual destination. So through engaging in mitzvot or refraining from negative physical pathways that create negative spiritual results, we build our spiritual selves. We create spiritual accomplishments. And that's really what we need to be doing, is building the self of us through perfecting midot, creating a good toolkit, and actually engaging in the world. So so that's what mitzvot are. Learning and engagement. Oh, so that's three ways. Three ways to work on our midot and to achieve these spiritual accomplishments. There's learning, behavior, and prayer, really. So learning is attitudes. Learning is increasing knowledge. Learning is shifting our perspective. Engagement with the mindset and the will of Hashem, so to speak. So we learn Torah, we learn Musar, we learn even how to set goals, or even sometimes things like Stephen Covey information. But really, we want to learn how to, I guess I'll put the Stephen Covey in the second one, behavior and engagement with the world. But learning Torah, engagement with the mindset and will of Hashem, is about shifting our perspective so that we see the world the way that Hashem wants us to see the world. And so that we can know what Hashem wants of us, what the Ratzon Hashem, what the will of Hashem is. That is accomplished through learning. Behavior is actually engaging in the world. That's how we really actualize the learning. We can shift our mindset, but it doesn't make a difference unless we start to move in a direction that actualizes that which we've gained in potential. So learning creates potential. Engagement in behavior creates actualization. It brings it into the world of existence and actually starts to build up our spiritual accomplishments. So for that, you must engage in the world. Can't be on a mountaintop. We don't have any gurus in caves on mountaintops that we really look up to, because they haven't engaged in the world. Our sages, our role models, are those who have engaged with the world, dealt with the challenges, dealt with difficult neighbors, and compromised congregants. I'm smiling because almost every congregation that I visit, and you know that in other parts of my work, I counsel young Rebbetzins across the country, those that work in Kiruv and those that work in Kiruv shuls, those that work in outreach and creating small congregations here and there and community outreach centers, but almost every one of them that runs a shul whispers to me confidentially that in their congregation there's a lot of nebs. So I think it's very cute. Part of it is because they're young and haven't yet learned how to see into the goodness of even the stranger congregants that they have. And part of it is because that's the makeup of people, is that there are difficult, challenging, less appealing, less accomplished people in our environment that we have to engage with, and engage with integrity, with love, with compassion, with giving. That requires engaging in the world. There's no way that our behavior can accrue spiritual accomplishments without engaging with some of the challenges that other people present us. And then tefillah. Tefillah, really, prayer, is about connecting in a different way. Behavior is a physical way to connect, to build those spiritual accomplishments. And tefillah is actually also in the world of bringing things from potential. It's both. It's both the world of creating potential and the world of bringing things from potential into actuality. So the thoughts that occur in prayer, the kavanah, is really about potential. But the reason that we pray out loud, that we actually move our lips and let the breath come across and form the words that are audible, at least to ourselves, is to bring potential into reality, is to make physical that interaction with Hashem. And with our potential, that we can actualize that which we're really doing. Okay, so that's working on perfecting self. I'm guessing, Ayala, that you're not able to put that text box back on my screen. I'm not sure how to do it. Let me see if a right click will help. No. Okay. Okay, now perfecting the world. In perfecting the world, how do we do that? basically, it's one major pathway. Perfecting the world is about setting a shining example, both individually and collectively. So individually, that means to become a positive and refined person, so that when people look at us, they see the shine. They see the conduit through which Hashem's light comes into the world. They see a person who's been able to move their ego out of the way so they can make space for Hashem in their life and then behave in a way that allows Hashem to radiate from every type of behavior that they engage in, whether it's a financial type or grocery shopping, parking, walking down the street. All of these things can be acts of radiating the light of Hashem into the world, which takes a conscious energy to be able to accomplish, but is possible. So that's first is the individual shining, becoming a positive, proactively positive and refined. So refined means taking away the negative elements. Refining, process of refining is removing dross from that which you want. But it also means actualizing that which you have. So it's a dual process of using the good that you have and removing the bad that you have, increasing the good that you have and constantly taking the negative out of it. So that's why I wrote first, become a positive and refined person. And then number two, in this setting a shining example, is to create a perfected society. This is something that Rav Hirsch discusses in the book Horeb, and it's nicely summarized and much more accessible in English in the book Master Plan by R.A. Carmel. And if anybody wants to look at I think the full title of the book Master Plan is Judaism, Its Goals and Meanings. So that you really understand, the book Master Plan is really about a forest view of Judaism. Often we get caught up in the trees, but really this book is about what's the whole program of Judaism about, and how do each set of mitzvot join together to create an organic whole that allows the world to come to the place that it's supposed to come to. So creating a perfected society is certainly a part of it, and we have lots of laws within the Torah that help us be directed towards creating a perfected society. But that's really why we need a state, not getting into Zionism here, but getting into the Torah's concept of why we need a state, why we were given a piece of land, and why we're directed to create a state in that piece of land is really about creating a model society, a society at the crossroads of the world. Think about where Israel is located, at the juncture of three continents, and then so you have a continent on three sides and a sea on the other. And it's really part of a land bridge that allowed travelers to go from place to place. So that physical location of the land of Israel allowed for the spread of the ideas of Israel as people traversed continent to continent, selling their wares. They would pass through the land of the Jews, pick up our ideas, and spread them to the planet, whether it was by boat or by foot or by camel. Our ideas were spread, and the ideas of the kind of society that should be created was spread through contact with the Jews. We didn't get it fully the first time around, or the second, so we got sprinkled around the planet, actually, to shine lights in different ways on the individual level. But now we do see a coming together. In the end of days, it should be that all the Jews come together from all around the world and create a perfected society, a society with garbage men, with attorneys, with doctors, with occupational therapists, with artists, with musicians, with bus drivers, with every type of person in society, so that we can show the world, really, we're not there yet, but a goal is to show the world how you're supposed to have a society that works, how we can live in respect one for another, how we can work in synergy, how we can have a land of filled with people that that shine God's light, shine the light of Hashem in every profession, in every community, in every family, in every marriage, in every parenting interaction, in every individual. And how the collection of that creates a light that should shine into the world. That's really what it means, to be a light unto the nations. Yes, we've shed some light so far, but basically we're supposed to be shedding light in terms of of having a perfected society that shows the way for societies. So individuals that show the way for individuals to connect with Hashem, and society that shows the way for other nations to, not necessarily to join us, but to emulate us and create pathways of emulation and connection to Hashem in the way that they will follow us. Okay. So those are the goals of the Jews. Obviously, in order to accomplish all those things, thinking about creating a perfected society, there's lots of micro goals underneath that, setting up systems of justice, for instance, or educational institutions. So there's all kinds of goals, health institutions. All those micro goals are under the macro goal, and even some of those macro goals are under the ultimate macro goal of allowing Hashem to connect with every human being and giving, allowing Hashem to give Hashem's goodness to each individual to the extent that that individual makes it possible. Okay, now let's get personal. Now we want to talk about personal goals. That's really what we want to accomplish. And I sure wish I could see that question box so that I could, let's see if I... No, go back. Okay, I'll just have to learn how to use PowerPoints better. So that I could see that. Okay, so in the personal goals, really what you need to think about in order to set your own goals, and you might want to get a piece of paper and write some of this out. As a matter of fact, I would suggest that. And I would like to hear in your feedback, since I can't ask you by question box right now, I'd like to hear in the emails that you send me, just in terms of pacing, if you would like to use this hour just to hear information from me or to actually do some of the work that we could use some time, probably wouldn't be much, but a few minutes here and there of pauses so that when, let's say, there's questions like this, what is important to you, what do you want to accomplish, that you would do some of the writing right here and now, knowing that this hour is set aside for your education and growth, or would you rather have it, so to speak, assigned as homework so that you would do it later and we would use this time for direct communication, questions, and information sharing. So option one, do the work in the class, and option two, do the work on your own. So I would like to hear, you could probably even put it in your text box and I'll be able to see it later, or you can email me if you what your preference is to use this time for working, to use this time for actually doing the work or to do the work on your own time. Meanwhile, though, this will have to be on your own time, but you can do some thinking. Well, I'll try to speak slowly and give a little bit of a pause if you have a sheet of paper in front of you. But in thinking about your personal goals, now that we've discussed the differences of micro and macro goals, even those of you who have set goals, do a little thinking about what the goals are that you've set. Are they micro goals? Are they macro goals? What kinds of goals would you like to set? So before you get to that, let's just look. What is important to you? That's a huge question, of course. But it is something to contemplate in terms of thinking about your goals. What are some of the things that are really key for you in your journey? I'm not going to make the assumption that you buy into everything that I said about the goals of the Jews, although probably for the purposes of this class, it's safe to make that assumption. But just assuming that you don't fully, or that there are some in the class who don't. So what are the things that are really important to you? Or even if you do fully accept the what I expressed as the goals of the Jews, what's important to you to move towards? What do you want to accomplish specifically? Because certainly within the microcosm of the Jewish people, there's lots of individual roles that we can all play. So what is it that you want to accomplish? Here I wrote, obstacles just get in the way. Of course, that's the definition of an obstacle, is something that gets in the way. What the reason why I wrote it like that on this page is to understand that here, at this point of developing goals and considering them, it's not appropriate, really, to think about obstacles. So because you want to be able to set big goals and try to figure out how to achieve them without letting obstacles get in your way right now. Let's just say your goal is to be fluent in Hebrew. or one of your goals is to know all of Chumash and Rashi, but you don't read Hebrew. So you might say, well, that's an obstacle. I don't read Hebrew, so that's not. So you won't even make it a goal. You might not even express it as a goal because you know you don't read Hebrew. So how are you expected, even if it's a wish that you have, you're not going to make it into a goal to know all of Chumash and Rashi because you have this huge obstacle in the way. Skip obstacles for right now. Whether they're financial obstacles or energetic obstacles, maybe your goal is to keep a perfect house. You want everything spotless all the time. We'll talk about reasonable goals in another session. But let's just say that's your goal right now. But you say to yourself, I don't have enough energy to do it. Skip having obstacles for this exercise. You have enough energy, you have enough money, you have enough skill, you have enough competency. You don't let the obstacles that you're seeing right now get in your way. Just say, what do you want to accomplish? What do you want? So it's important to open that up, to remove the obstacles from your wishes, because nothing can stand in the way of Ratzon. There's two ways to understand that, or two of the ways to understand that sentence. Ein devar ha'omed bifnei ha'ratzon. Nothing can stand in the face of will, right? So one way is to say, where there's a will, there's a way. If you desire it enough, you can accomplish it. It's not always the case, turns out. There are some things that you could desire very, very much and not be able to accomplish. So it is true that with a stronger will, you will be able to accomplish more, but it's not true that nothing can stand in the way of your very strong will, because it turns out sometimes things can. But the way that the sentence is true always is that nothing can stand in the way of your desire, meaning you can desire whatever you want. Nothing stands in the way of your ratzon unless you allow obstacles or practicalities right now to get in the way of you hoping for something. So I encourage you to let go of what you're seeing currently as obstacles and really think about, what do you want? If you could want anything, what is it that you want? Right? If you have enough time and enough money and enough energy and everybody in your life agrees with you, what do you want to accomplish? Who do you want to be? How will you become? And the how is really different. We'll get to that next time. But really, think about these questions. What's important to you? What do you want to accomplish? Who do you want to be? Nothing can stand in the way of your desires. This exercise is about you accessing your desires so that you can really set big goals. I'll just give you an example for my own self. It happened last Rosh Hashanah when I was in Dallas, Texas. I was there and people were talking about their different goals that they had, and I realized, and I was thinking, okay, a goal for this year, I want to do Shnai Mikra V'Echad Targum. I'm going to read the Parsha twice in Hebrew and once in translation. And at some point I was thinking in the back of my mind, I'd actually like to do the translation to be the actual Aramaic translation. But this year I'm just going to take it upon myself to do an interpretive translation, which would be Arya Kaplan or something like that. I'm not yet up to the Aramaic. So I let a little sigh out and I thought, oh gosh, you know, I'm not up to the Aramaic. I sure would love to learn some other things, but you know, I'm not even going to put on my list like learning the Zohar or anything like that. That's just way beyond me. And then I realized, wait a second, I'm allowing something to get in the way of my desire. If I want to learn Kabbalah, if I want to learn the Zohar in the original with perfect Aramaic, at least I could wish for it. I don't have to stop wishing. I don't have to make it not something that I desire just because I don't have Aramaic today. So I'm not yet saying that that's what I want. I don't want to necessarily be a Kabbalist, but I certainly do want to learn more and understand more. And the more we can be in touch with our Jewish languages, the more that we can really understand the texts and what they mean. Each word is chosen so carefully, so it really pays to understand the nuances, and the more you can compare, the better off you are. So let your desires really go wild and see what you really want. Write down a list of what you really want. Okay. Remember, you don't have to be great to start this process, but you do have to start the process in order to become great. So that's really the idea that I want to leave you with. We've got to start somewhere. Really open up, let go of the obstacles, and make a list of goals. And And please download the sheet from my website and send that in to me so that I'll know more about you and how to direct the class specifically towards you. And finally, coming attractions for next week. Next week, we'll focus on knowing yourself. We'll do some personal inventory and work on knowing ourselves so that we'll be able to set specific goals for ourselves. I'm sorry I can't take questions, but our hour is over. And so you can email me questions if you want, and I'll be happy to start next week with answering some of them. Thank you so much for joining, and I look forward to sharing with you. Okay. I'm not quite sure how to make this work.